So you're still conducting at Spokane.
Uh-huh.
And the grieving, I can tell from the website, the grieving at your imminent departure has already begun there.
No, it's just a PR grieving.
I kind of doubt that.
That's a PR grieving.
But you're still doing Long Beach. You're doing Spokane. You're,
Cincinnati.
Back and forth here.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. So you have four orchestras on your plate this year. So,
which is crazy by any standard.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So how are you managing all this so far?
It's compartmentalizing, and we know who is who needs what when. I think I'm sometimes more proactive than the organizations themselves because I know what I need to do, and they are stuck in the daily grind, you know.
So you're going back and forth between four different locations.
Yeah.
And you're juggling all these different schedules. Mm. So how is Portland fitting into all of that this season?
Well, season is mostly, you know, planning time. And a lot of this you can do over email, with phone calls, the occasional on-site visit. But it's basically just preparing the 1920 season and what happens there musically. And so all of these things, you don't actually need to be present. You know, it's nice when you do, because you need to get to know, you know, the donors and the staff. And so that's super important, and meeting musicians and kind of starting to establish a relationship so that you come. It's not all new. But it's not essential that I'm here all the time. But I mean, once it starts, I think that's going to change, because I'm going to be here quite frequently, actually. Yeah.
And are you still based in Spokane?
Still based in Spokane. My family is there. And
do you think you're going to stay there? Because your
we
kids
have to
are
discuss.
In school, right?
They're going to school there, and we have extended family there, and we have a lot of friends there, and that's all they know.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of want to see what it feels like here, what the commute will feel like, how they are going to miss me or not.
Oh, come on. You're being modest, right?
Yeah, no, I hope they're going to miss me, but they're all growing up. I don't know what they're going to do when I'm not there. And so they might dislike it. I don't know. Because I make them work. You know, I'm the.
Are you the taskmaster at home?
A little bit, yeah. And so they might miss that, or they might enjoy that, or both.
Probably a little bit of both, don't you think? That sounds about. Are they teenagers?
There are 7 and 10, going on 15.
Oh, okay.
Both of them, yeah.
7 and 10, going on 15. Yeah, I got that a beat later, but then I did get it.
You did get it.
Yeah. Well, we also talked about how he manages both the excitement and the expectations that come with being the new music director.
It's interesting to, you know, how you deal as an artist with these projected excitement that gets projected to your, you know, your arrival, the new maestro, the new music director. It puts a lot of pressure on you, and that is usually the last thing you need as an artist. And so that's a very interesting, you can either can hinder you in your freedom, and you have to be so relaxed when you do music. Otherwise music gets tense. I mean, music can be tense, but not tensely made.
Yes.
And if you're not relaxed and confident and take your time for the phrase and the sound to come out, then it's no fun for anybody. And so, but you can also transform it into energy, and that's what I'm trying to do, is transform all this pressure that is put on us as an organization, and me in particular, to transform that into and channel that into energy that then bounces back from the audience, from the orchestra to the audience, and then everybody's like, oh, that was awesome, and I hope that will happen.
Well, but that's such a good advice to anybody who ever has to be in a pressure situation, because the adrenaline that you get, it really can work for you or against you. And I think that's what happens. That's what professionals are able to do over time, is to channel that energy for them in a positive way.
And stage fright can have different expressions. You know, stage fright can actually totally block you, or you can transform it. You know, I mean, everybody, as soon as you're on stage, you have a heightened sense of presence. I mean, there's just no way around it. You stand in front of 2,000 people, and you're not going to feel like, oh, yeah, I'm in my living room studying my score. It's always going to be difficult. The question is, how do you deal with that emotionally and also mentally? And I think what differentiates a professional from an amateur or from a beginner is that the professional can actually transfer. That's where we feed from. I mean, we are really feeding like vampires, you know, off this energy that we receive from just being on stage and from this energy of all these people in the hall, and make it our own and then put it into music.
That's where the magic happens.
It might. There's no guarantee.
Okay, pressure way off. Let's just talk about the concert that you will conduct in this season, in January. You're doing two performances of Scheherazade. And so tell me a little bit about your relationship with that piece of music.
I remember when I heard Scheherazade for the first time. It was fairly late in my college years, actually, and I was just painting my apartment, and this music came on in the radio, and I thought, I had never heard this before, and what was it? And it was Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade, and since then, it has always had a very dear place in my heart. It is so beautiful. It's very dramatic. It's very lush. It has a narrative to it. It's actually a very clean cut. You know, there's not much mystery about it. But in its way, it is so colorful. It's like you know, you really feel you understand why Rimsky-Korsakov was the one who basically wrote the book on orchestration. You know, the way he treats the orchestra, you know, like a fancy painter, you know, it's just everything, every instrument choice, everything has, you can see how he sits there and really figures things out. It's not just random. It's very organized and very, very planned. But when you listen to it, it just has this beautiful flow. And it's right between, you know, these almost cinematic tone poems and a symphonic feel. It's right there in between, and so you can satisfy both of these needs of just letting it all fly out and having a very nice structure to it.
And then there's that violin part that just is that thread that runs all through the piece to me, that kind of ties all those various tone poems together.
So Scheherazade is represented by the concertmaster, the solo violin. And that is one of the two major themes. It's the most obvious. It's a famous audition piece for concertmasters. I mean, every violinist knows it. And there's basically variations on a theme. It's very difficult to play. And it needs to sound very sweet, yet confident. I mean, Scheherazade is in a very precarious situation, having to tell the story possibly for the last time, and being in need of enticing the Sultan to hear more. So that is one aspect of it. And the other theme is the Sultan's theme, which is the very first theme that you will hear in the brass, which comes back also later again and again, which is much more like a manly, sturdy, and very often angry. I mean, the Sultan is not a happy man. That's why he kills all the women. It is, and so it has a, you know, these are really very obvious contrasting themes, not only in terms of the way they are built, they sound, but also in the way they're orchestrated. So the Sultan theme is in the brass. Scheherazade is always in the violin, and sometimes they're dialoguing with each other. And you can hear how the Sultan sometimes gets really angry, and all of a sudden the theme is twice as fast and very agitated. And so if you have some imagination, it can, you know, you can really make literally your own movie. And each movement also has this very if it's the prince and the princess or the counter prince or at the end the shipwreck, it has very, very well defined not only themes but also soundscapes in many ways, and I think it, I mean, there's not a dull moment in this piece, and it's 40 minutes long, and there's not a dull second.